I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another huge weekend across Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers says the Old Firm ticket allocation situation is a Rangers problem and nothing to do with Celtic. Philippe Clement, though, is hoping Rangers can find Man United's 1999 spirit to recover from a tough start. And it's straight into League Cup action after Kilmarnock went through in Europe and St Mirren went out. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Ticket allocation will be the least of Philippe Clement's worries tomorrow as he takes on St Johnstone in the Premier Sports Cup. This is the only trophy that Rangers have, and this is the beginning of their defence of that trophy. And it's a very difficult day for all concerned. I think the crowd may only be half of Hamden's capacity. Those who are there will still have Dynamo Kiev on their minds and be in a surly mood, and Rangers will have to play very well and, of course, win if Clement is to avoid further upheaval.
And honestly, Scott Allen, the power of this show, in fact, the power of Hugh Keevans, who knew he was such a positive influence. This time last week, you were here and you scored within how many seconds?
The next
A minute in,
yeah.
Honestly, what took you so long? That's just, is that what this guy does? Just rubs off on people?
Yeah, well, to be fair, he said he was partly Kingdom of Fife and
a Fife community taxpayer. Yes. And I expect a lot from you.
So I'm expecting the same again tomorrow.
Fast start, honestly. He just didn't want to stick off Hugh Keevans when he returned tonight. But anyway, good to have Scott Allen alongside us. What's on your mind tonight, though? 0141 951 1025. Everyone's favourite topic, Old Firm ticket allocations. Oh. We find new ways of stirring this stuff up, and it's got another chapter written in its long and weary story this week, because it was revealed that despite an agreement last season, there will be no away fans at Celtic Park in a couple of weeks, and then in the next fixture at Ibrox. You did wonder how the managers would play that today when asked. Well, Brendan Rodgers played it studs up, I think would be the best description. Celtic fan box office Brendan, I think they're referring to it. He didn't pull any punches. So it's a Rangers problem, he says. I know you'll all have your theories. Let's get stuck straight into it. If you take one simple request from a man on a Friday night, maybe we don't need to do it for the full 2 hours.
No.
So we've got some sanity left, but it is an important story. So let's get stuck into it if you so wish. Rangers fans, perhaps for you, that's just one factor on a long list of things going on at the moment. So what else is it? You tell me. Hamden this weekend, still getting over Europe. Philippe Clement today wanting to channel the spirit of Man United in 1999. He's been watching the documentary. He's talking about needing still to move players on before he can bring players in. But there are players there that he can't hold a gun to their head, he says. So there's lots and lots going on there. Yilmaz is out for 4 to 6 weeks as well, to add to the injury woes. So again, whatever it is that's tickling your fancy the most, 0141 951 1025. If we're looking for a pure feel good story, got to be you Kilmarnock fans. How good was last night? How good is it to be through in European competition? St Mirren fans will happily take your hard luck story as well on that same number. Just another quiet week, Hugh.
Yeah, first of all, Brendan Rodgers quite right to maintain that Celtic have carried out their part of the bargain. They have constructed new turnstiles. They have got everything in place for the around about 5% of Rangers fans who would have been at Celtic Park on the 1st of September. I don't know why Rangers have been unable to conduct the same work. It could have something to do with the reconstruction of the Copeland Road stand that is going on at present. It could be uncertainty over whether Rangers are going to be back at Ibrox by the time of the second derby match. But safety is of paramount importance, and Celtic believe they have kept their part of the bargain, and Rangers so far have been unable to complete their part of the bargain. Therefore, Celtic exercise their right to say, well, if an agreement has been breached, we can have no Rangers fans at Celtic Park on the 1st of September. The row will then rumble on.
Unable to provide guarantees, I think, would be the official line. And I'm sure Rangers feel differently about it. But anyway, we can tackle all that, I think, between now and 8 o'clock. Let's see what comes through first with William, who's in Alloa. How's it going, William?
Good evening. It's going good. What I feel, panel, is that Rangers need a hero. At the moment, they can't really win the ball, they can't hold on to the ball, and they can't score, they can't win when it matters. And they've got players in the background that could come to the fore. They've got Hadji, they've got Cantwell. Everyone knows Cantwell has got talent. And the club in itself is in a difficult period. Mr. Bennett's got a lot on his plate. They need someone to stand up and be a man and change things. They need a hero, and I think it could be Cantwell. Right now, he's languishing in the reserves. No one's coming in to buy him. Everyone knows he's got talent. He needs just an arm around him to say, you've got talent, man up. The Rangers fans appreciate it when you score goals. They don't appreciate it when you're on social media gallivanting around the country at Cameron House, Glen Eagles and Loch Lomond. They want to see you on the pitch. They want to see you in the gym. And I think it could come from him, but we definitely need a hero, and we need it soon.
Can you go from telling the manager you don't want to be there, then sticking to that when asked again to being a hero? Can that happen, William?
I think it can, because he's not the only one. Tavernier accepted an offer to talk to a team in Turkey.
That's not the same as actively saying you want to leave, though, is it? You know, like seeking an exit.
I get what you're saying. It's not the same, but still, there's a lot of them in the same boat. And I think in times like this, it's a time to regroup and for people to become reborn. So I see that there's an opportunity for someone to just take the reins and change the script and save Rangers, because right now, as it is, they will win nothing. So we need something to change the trajectory, and it could come from someone who's not in the team, like Hadji or Cantwell.
I can understand that you're thinking. However, it won't be Cantwell, because as Gordon said, you can't tell the manager twice that you want to be somewhere else and hope to be back in the team. The Rangers fans, in the majority, I don't think, would accept Cantwell under those circumstances. Remember the pre-season friendly where Rangers lost, I think it was the Birmingham City match? Philippe Clement left the press room and then came back with and another thing on his mind, and told the full story of Todd Cantwell and what had taken place in their conversations. I do understand that Rangers need fresh impetus. I do understand there are players inside the club that could perhaps, and the underline perhaps, provide the impetus, but Cantwell won't be the one.
Do you know what? I'm going to play this clip from Philippe Clement today, William. I envisaged it coming a bit later on in the show, but you've brought it up, and that's the beauty of it on live radio, because I'd imagine this stuff is referring to Todd Cantwell and others like him, because it's been a disappointing week. Naturally, he was asked then, can you still sign players? Champions League money's not there. Do you need to move players out before you bring players in? And he said yes. And he says he wants to move players out, but he can't hold a gun to anyone's head.
We had a talk several weeks ago that it's important for the club to sell also players, to get players, so some of them know it already really long time and they're still in the building, so that makes things more difficult, but it is what it is. I cannot put a gun on their head to get them out of the building. That's also not the idea.
Doesn't strike me as being a clip that's going to like cheer up the Rangers fans, that, Scott. You know, that I think they probably knew that they needed to move people out, but then what if you can't? That seems to be the predicament that he's in.
No, I think we're at a point where Philippe Clement is obviously suffering from the choices that were made there last summer, the season previously, and Rangers are sitting there with players on overinflated wages. And if you're a player, if you can't get that elsewhere, you would be told to sit there. It's as simple as that. Rangers have put themselves in this position. And on Todd Cantwell, he has got ability. But last year, when the going got tough and they needed him to take the games by the scruff of the neck away to Ross County in the Celtic games, he didn't come up with the goods.
Yeah. I think also, Clement was the man who laid bare the extent of the financial difficulties that Rangers have. And that was before he was eliminated from the Champions League qualifiers, which intensified those difficulties for Rangers. So he really needs to get players out, but the conundrum is, if they don't want to go, you can't force them out, and he's telling you as much today.
William, how are you feeling overall? There's been a lot said this week. All of a sudden it's back to Hampden again. There is the jeopardy of going out of a cup, the cup that Rangers won last season, albeit they'd still be favourites for the match. How do you feel about the overall picture?
I feel that there's no hope, really. I wasn't surprised that they got beat by the Ukrainian side. And it's just how it is. So I just feel that we need something to change. And what I would say to Hugh is that we all in our lives have the capacity to change. So I understand what you're saying about Campbell. And I'm reading the comments online on YouTube. People are writing in. And for me, Campbell, someone like him, he can change. The Rangers team must be able to change, because right now it's a crisis and they need people to come to the fore. And I would love to see it, because right now, as I said, there's no hope. I don't see Rangers winning anything unless something changes the script, if you know what I mean.
I think William makes a sensible point, but in you, he's dealing with the one person on the planet who'll never change his mind.
Well, no.
So I think it's wasted on you.
But
that.
What intrigues me, though, is that William's response is a dramatic one. There is no hope.
It was quite bleak, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that is the situation in which Rangers find themselves, and that's why the cup tie tomorrow, it is unthinkable that Rangers come away at full time having been eliminated from the cup that they're trying to defend. It would intensify everything to an unbearable degree for Philippe Clement. It would be officially a crisis if you lose to St Johnston. But having said that, St Johnston, last week, go to Kilmarnock, a Kilmarnock side that we are all celebrating today, and they wiped the floor with them. And I know Joe Wright got sent off very early on. However, they went away from home and scored 3 goals. Therefore, they have to be respected at Hampden tomorrow under difficult circumstances for the Rangers players.
OK, thank you very much to William and Alawa. You can join in if you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard on the usual number. Let's hear that clip then, because it's the one everyone's been talking about. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, the story this week about the no away fans at Celtic Park in a couple of weeks, and then when the fixture comes back to Ibrox soon after. The Celtic manager says the lack of away fans is completely the fault of Rangers, and believes Celtic have made the right call in withdrawing the allocation for the next fixture.
The club's job is to protect the support, and if there's not that guarantee that come the second fixture, I think it's only logical that you wouldn't reciprocate. Celtic have played their part and what they were asked to do. And again, I go back, nothing of this was Celtic's issue. Nothing. When you go back to when this all started, it's nothing to do with Celtic. Celtic gets dragged into this here as being a Celtic Rangers thing. It's not a Celtic Rangers thing. This is a Rangers thing. So Celtic, when even they're asked to and have this agreement to make the stadium safe and everything else, we plough money into that. We do the works, which started months ago. On both parties, it hasn't been agreed. So it's not complicated. It hasn't been done. For good faith, whatever way you want to put it, there's still an agreement for both, right? So it's not done. It's not great faith. If we allow Rangers supporters in, then we get to January and our own supporters can't get in. It's not good faith. I think that the agreement hasn't been upheld. So Celtic rightly have to defend their supporters and their club. And sadly, as I said, the Rangers supporters miss out on this game and Celtic in the return game. But let's hope that after that, we can then find a way to get the supporters in.
That's how Brendan Rodgers feels about it. But how do you feel? 01419511025. Call right now and we'll hear your opinions on it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are about to be joined on the show by Stefan, who's in the Gorbals. How are you?
Sorry, I'm not too bad, Gordon. How are you?
All good here, all good. What are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to come on and talk about Brendan Rodgers' comments just in relation to the latest sort of decision around no away fans in either of the games, whether this being 2 weeks at Celtic Park or whatever it's meant to be in January. I just thought it was interesting from Brendan because his comments, he was quite polite and direct about his response. It was no, you know, it was no nonsense. It was all about business. It was all about Celtic have done their side of things as they tend to do. They've had things in place since March and now we're 2 weeks away from, you know, one of the biggest games of the season. And now here we are again talking about ticket allocations and, you know, what might be, what might not be. I just think it's, you know, it's something we've come to expect from Brendan when he's asked these kind of questions. He's no nonsense about it. He doesn't hide it. He just tells it like it is. And for some reason, it's caused some sort of uproar on Twitter. I've seen so many people saying, oh, the reason the allocation's been split is because of different times Rangers have went to Celtic and got a result. And I'm thinking, the only time I can really think of Rangers getting a result at Celtic Park post-COVID since 2010 was Ryan Kent scoring and Philip Hollander to make it 2-1. Other than that, I think we all know where the allocation issue started. And, you know, it's not a Celtic thing, as Brendan said. It was predominantly a Rangers thing. So, yeah, I just sort of come on and sort of back up the manager on that because it was spot on.
Yeah, the history of it, we've been down this many times. Yeah. You can totally understand why many people and Celtic fans would be the majority of that group saying, well, Rangers spat the dummy because we were going to Ibrox and wiping the floor with them every time. Yeah. And Rangers would say, well, actually, we want to sell more season tickets to our season ticket, more season tickets to our home fans, and we're looking after their interests. We have probably now reached the stage many years on that going round the circles on that, as entertaining as it may be, not really getting anywhere. So if Celtic fans feel Rangers started this, fine. I mean, because they did cut the allocation first. We went from 7,000-8,000 down to 7,800. Now we're down to nothing. This is a bit different, I think, in that it's certainly more about actual logistical steps that's been put in rather than this intangible stuff about spitting the dummy about, you know, results. There's an agreement in place. Both clubs have been asked to do work around the stadium. I think Celtic have put up sort of security gates and reconfigured the turnstiles and whatever along those lines. I think Rangers have been asked to do something similar, plus safety netting, I think, inside Ibrox. Yeah. Celtic say they've done it. Rangers say ours will be ready, but that is not enough of a guarantee for Celtic. So
I take this story and I exclude the historical elements of it, where undoubtedly things have happened at Ibrox that have seriously disquieted Celtic. However, I take this story from the point at which a statement was released to say that both clubs had agreed that around 5%
March
of away fans would be at Celtic Park and Ibrox. It has now come to light that Celtic have done their work and Rangers, for whatever reason, have not been able to do so as yet. Brendan Rodgers' logic this afternoon was therefore undeniable. The agreement that was fixed in March cannot be realised in September because Celtic feel they would be acting in bad faith if they allowed Rangers fans into their ground, but Celtic fans, in the fullness of time, could not get into Ibrox for the second derby of the season. And we don't know what state Ibrox will be in by that time, or whether Rangers will be back playing there. There is too much uncertainty, and therefore Celtic have taken the unilateral decision to say no away fans on the 1st of September. I can only say Brendan Rodgers' logic was undeniable. He delivered it in a robust fashion.
Well, that was the original part of Stefan's call. If Celtic feel they're in the right or whatever, I know everyone wants to separate this into right and wrong.
Yeah,
that's one thing. But Brendan Rodgers clearly seized that opportunity today, didn't he? And that's fine.
Very clever man.
It's box office for shows like this, but that was an opportunity and it was taken.
Very clever man, because he knows that this has been a difficult week for Rangers. The European result was an awful one for them. The consequences of it will linger on in financial terms. And Brendan Rodgers has simply taken advantage of the fact that right now, Celtic are the only team in the Premiership to have played 2-1-2. They are playing Hibs on Sunday in the Premier Sports Cup, looking to get past them and make that cup the first part of a treble, if Brendan Rodgers can manage that. And one manager has taken advantage of everything in the garden being rosy, and the other manager has stepped back because he's got other things to worry about before he gets concerned with crowd segregation and ticket allocation.
I think this time, Scott, that it's reared its head, though, it's hard. So Rangers might want to push the fact that it's got nothing to do with the ongoing works at Ibrox. Someone is welcome to phone in here and tell us that it's got nothing to do with that, if they want that put straight. But it's verging and impossible to expect everyone to not put two and two together and think, well, they don't even know where they're going to be playing, so how can they possibly guarantee that X, Y and Z will be in place for the January fixture?
Yeah, I think that's a narrative that Rangers are going to go off, the fact that they no one knows exactly when Ibrox is going to be back open, and as much as the Rangers fans are desperate to get to back to Ibrox, it's once again fans are losing out, away fans for both clubs, and we're going to need to look till whenever Rangers get back in and seeing what things are put in place. But Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, as Hugh says, he's so articulate with it, and he's the one coming out on top again with his own fans.
Stefan, do you have any confidence that this will be resolved for the final two meetings of the season?
I don't know. It's one of them. You like to be hopeful. You think, yeah, it could be resolved. But then again, this sort of rivalry is one that you never know what could happen. So, am I going to bet my house on it? No. Would I like to see an allocation of fans back in? Absolutely. But as Brendan said, you have to be. Have to make sure that all the work's being done so that both sets of supporters can get to enjoy it. But I guess we just need to.
Wait and see is probably the key phrase, Hugh. Because I've got sympathy with the people at the SPFL. I'm not saying this is their fault, but sort of laughed when I saw the statement from them this morning before any of this, because it says that they've had assurances from both clubs that they're committed to admitting away fans. Behind the scenes talks involving Glasgow City Council and police. And it gives the backstory a bit. But the funny thing is the bit where it says that Rangers and Celtic will provide ticket allocations of 5% of respective stadium capacity for away supporters for SPFL matches between the two clubs. And you think, great, this remains subject to all necessary requirements being satisfied at both Ibrox and Celtic Park.
Yeah,
well, that's the bit that's fallen down currently. Yeah. So we may, I hope not, but we might get to December and that's still the same.
John Bennett, the Rangers chairman, doesn't know when Rangers will play at Ibrox again. Because if John Bennett did know, he would come out with trumpets blaring and announce that Rangers will definitely be back in their own ground on such and such a date. Therefore, if the Rangers chairman doesn't know when Ibrox will reopen for Rangers home matches, then how can anyone say with any certainty that the safeguards that are wanted to be put in place with regard to Old Firm matches, how can anyone say that will happen by then for sure? Because no one, including the Rangers chairman, knows when they'll be back.
Thank you very much to Stefan. Plenty more to come on this. If you so desire, get those calls in to us. I think Martin's on as well. How are you, Martin?
I'm well, thanks, Gordon. And yourself?
Not bad. What's your take on it all?
Oh, first of all, good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Scott.
Hi there.
It's just more a... what the other caller was saying, but further to add to it, like Brendan Rodgers has finally said, and I think every Celtic fan has been waiting for this for ages, is this whole shambles never started with Celtic, but it's always portrayed as an Old Firm problem. But it was never Celtic that barred Rangers fans from Parkhead. It was the other way about. We sucked it up, we took the wee allocation, which was found, and I'm not saying Parkhead's any safer, but it was found that Ibrox wasn't safe for Celtic fans, so then it was a total ban. But my biggest problem here is Rangers, the response today, and you go, well, how did you sign up for these agreements had you known what was going to take place to whatever they're doing in Ibrox, and you don't actually have a guarantee or a clue when it's going to be finished? Now, I remember back to the 90s when Celtic were in absolute shambles and they get slated from pillar to post by newspapers, press, the lot, about how badly run that club was. And it was. But I don't hear the same thing for Rangers, and I go, well, I know, because this is an absolute disgrace for the top-level league in Scotland. that you've got a club that does not know when they'll be back in the stadium, signed up to allow away fans in, even though they don't even know if they're going to be at Ibrox. So Celtic were well within the rights to go, well, hold on a minute here, we're pulling the plug on this, because why will we give you a sporting advantage to let your fans into Parkhead when we don't know if it's going to be reciprocated?
I've said that Brendan Rodgers' logic was undeniable. But also, Martin, you would have to appreciate that all that Rangers are going through has been recorded meticulously day by day. This whole stadium fiasco has been a regular topic of conversation, along with what's been happening to the team on the park. So there's been no attempt to camouflage anything that's going on at Ibrox. The team's bad. The ground situation is awful for the supporters, and Hampden is turning out to be a real problem for the club. None of that has been overlooked.
No, I agree with you, but it is, because at the same time we're still talking about this as a Celtic Rangers problem, because that was when the news broke. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was Celtic Rangers. When
but you go back to the ticket allocation. You go back to the ticket allocation. I'm talking about... you're talking about the situation whereby the press are overlooking what's going on at Rangers.
That wasn't my total point. That was one of my points, and I'm correct, stand corrected, because yourself was one of the biggest critics of Celtic in the 90s, and I'll never forget it, and you were spot on something you weren't. So that was one of my points. My main point is, why is this still a Celtic Rangers problem? Celtic have done what they've been asked to do. Rangers can't give anybody a guarantee. Now, if any top league, if that was England, Spain, Italy, and this was going on with one of the big clubs, I think we'd hear a lot more about it.
It's an absolute shambles, and it's a game
to be in an absolute state.
It's all I'm hearing. To be fair, I don't know like what more you would expect to hear. All I've heard all summer when I was off and come back is that how shambolic it is that Rangers can't guarantee that they play at Ibrox.
Yeah.
Maybe if Martin wants it said in stronger language, I suppose that's fair. Everyone's got their own wants and desires.
Rangers are in a state. And our very first caller tonight, William, when you asked him, what about this season? No hope. That was the comment made by a Rangers supporter. So no one's sweeping anything under any carpets here.
The thing is about guarantees, Scott. Like someone's put a tweet from Blue Sea of Ibrox, just if you're in any doubt as to which way that Twitter account leans. In absolute garbage from Rodgers, because Celtic applied for a permit 3 months before the game. There are 5 months before the New Year's game. I hope Rangers never let Celtic fans back in, is the payoff there. So it's all about this guarantee. And again, in the SPFL statement, they talk about behind the scenes talks. We'll never know every single bit of the detail. What does a guarantee look like? Rangers obviously feel like it's going to be ready. How can they possibly give a guarantee when they're not even in the stadium? I'd be interested to know how this could have played out better. Genuinely, I'm not saying it couldn't. Like, what does a guarantee look like for Rangers currently?
Well, like a guarantee, as Hugh says, John Bennett doesn't know when Rangers are back into Ibrox, and that, at the end of the day, no matter if we speculate a date, that's coming from the chairman. So how can you guarantee that these safety measures will be in place? And I'm not sure, is that the same stand that the work's been done on as well, close to it?
Yes, I think so. Is that right? My stadium geography.
The Copeland Road stand is what would have been in the old days known as the Rangers end. And the Broomloan stand in the old days would have been the Celtic end.
And bearing in mind, I don't even know if that's necessarily linked, because the some of this stuff, like I said, to refers to like safety netting inside the stadium. Some of it refers to like, you know, in the stadium footprint. I think you can see, if you've been to Celtic Park recently, Martin, is it kind of visible, the things that have been done outside, isn't it?
Well, I'm at the Celtic end, so I can see obviously some bits of it when I pass through there, but I don't come.
Yeah, I just think
way,
I saw
so
pictures
I
the other night.
But like you said there, I'm led to believe Celtic are still getting a wee small section of the Broomloan stand. Well, the work that's taking place in the Rangers stand is at Copeland. So why is there a delay in that? Why did they not just get that fixed and then go, well, this is the only bit we're waiting on, is when this stand's going to be fixed? That would surely ease Celtic's minds.
You'd have to concede that among the many, many problems John Bennett has going on, the Copeland Road stand being completed and getting the ground that reopened for the Rangers supporters, I would imagine, is his number one priority, which strengthens Brendan Rodgers' case for saying what he has said today, that therefore there can be no guarantees that the safety measures will be in place by the time Celtic go to Ibrox, or if indeed it is Ibrox, Celtic might be going to Hampden for all we know. There is too much uncertainty, and Celtic have simply pulled the plug and said, you know, we did our bit, and therefore we're taking these measures.
All we need to do is time travel, go back to when that agreement was written in March, and make sure that it definitely had in it that works had to be completed by a certain date. Was that in it? And again, I'm genuinely asking, I don't know, I've not seen it. Was that there? Has this caught Rangers by surprise because they think, well, the fixture is a few months away, so naturally Celtic Park was going to be done first? Or was that never a consideration? As you know, should they have put a hard date in it? I don't know, I've not seen it.
It's one of these things where, you know, Brendan Rodgers, in the eyes of the Celtic fans, has done exceptionally well today, but other people should be helping Brendan Rodgers out, you know, because if there is a clause in the agreement which says, and
no, I doubt there was,
but again, we're again shooting in the dark here, we don't know, but I say for the last time, Brendan Rodgers' logic was undeniable. Celtic have done what they consider to be the best thing on behalf of their supporters, and there, for the time being, the matter ends.
Brendan Rodgers has got exactly what he would have wanted from Friday night. Hugh Keevan's seal of approval, I'm sure. 01419511025. Great time to call, because you could be up next whilst I tell you about this. I don't know how much safety nets and turnstile reconfigurations cost, but I know that Mark has finally broken the deadlock when he won £280,000. He could donate it to Scottish football if he wants and try and move this whole thing along. But he's actually planning to buy a new car, pay off his mortgage, book a holiday to Zante. He's got his list already, although he nearly didn't answer the phone because he didn't know who was calling. So we want to change your life as well in the next round of the cash register, and it's up again, £290,000. Here's how you enter. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on the website, and the lines close 5pm on Friday. To win, answer within 5 rings, tell us this week's cash register amount, £290,000. And if you do all that, the money would go straight into your bank right after the call. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. A busy old day in Scottish football, a busy weekend ahead. Hugh Keevans is already being pulled up for things he said 30 years ago. That's when I know we're in one of those nights on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, when Scott Allen was just a baby. Anyway, get your calls in or tweet us at Clyde SSB. John is a Rangers fan. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for putting us on.
What are you thinking tonight? What's your point?
I'm saying to the producer there, I'm just going to change my kind of question. I'm going to speak about this away fan scenario, but I think enough people spoke about that.
It's up to you. You can have your say if you wish, or move on. You do what you want.
I'd rather speak about what's going on at Ibrox. It's an absolute shambolic situation. Even with the situation with this Hummel carry on, there's money to be paid out. Just listen to the news there, and the Rangers manager said that it has to get players out before we can get players in. I don't know who we're going to get out and get good money, not unless we sell the Rangers keeper for X amount of millions. So I honestly don't know what's going on, but the whole board, Ibrox, from the stadium not ready, to the Hummel, to Tavernier not even playing in pre-season, meant to be leaving, now he's staying. It's just an absolute shambles, and it's the Rangers fans that are suffering, to be quite honest with you.
It's been quite a week,
yeah,
Hugh, because you'll have heard it, whether it's about Champions League exit, but then why does that happen? Is it because the game was at Hampden? So there's another big factor. Is it because the signings aren't right yet? Is it because they're bad or substandard players in the building in the first place? Is it because Philippe Clement's not doing his job? So with that one defeat, and granted it does come off the back of poor pre-season results and a draw against Hearts on the opening day, but that one defeat really, really digs up a lot of stuff.
There's a domino effect here. Rangers are only at Hampden because of the stadium fiasco. Everything begins there. An employee lost his job for whatever reason, and John Bennett had to make it clear that things had gone horribly wrong in the reconstruction work, which was a noble idea to help out disabled fans, but it's gone horribly wrong for Rangers. Therefore, they had to go to Hampden. Rangers fans didn't like Hampden in the first place. They like it even less now. And the sight of so many empty seats for the Dynamo Kiev game was worrying from a Rangers perspective. The question of players who cannot be got rid of is also a problem that you can put on Rangers' doorstep as well, because they have been paying players the type of wages that they would easily get down south, and they've been paying them up here in an economic environment which is minuscule compared to what's going on down south. So they've overpaid, and now they can't get rid of them because, as Scott Allen said earlier on, why would you go? You're sitting there on the kind of money you'll never get when you go to your next club. And all of this, one problem creates another problem, all starting from the building of, or the rebuilding of, the Copeland Road stand.
John says everything's a shambles, Scott, words to that effect. The previous call said there's no hope. And it's the 16th of August. How do Rangers pull it back from here and improve?
Well, I think that's when the fan phoned up Ellen, he talked about a hero. I think the hero's got to be Philippe Clement, and that is how, with what he's got, he gets a team working hard on and off the ball, playing a certain way, which I don't think any of us have seen. It's been a bit more pragmatic this year. You've got two midfielders coming to go on the ball, goalkeeper plays it out, ball's launched down the pitch, and then you're asking them to make up 40 yards down for the second ball, the knockdowns for Dessers. It's all over the place. So yes, there's these problems on and off the pitch, but you've got to address the performance of the team and what you have. If that is the case, you got to make the best out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're seeing that on the pitch at all.
John, just hang on the line. I'll play a bit more from Philippe Clement, because he says his side, well, he's been taking inspiration from Man United's treble winning season in 99, a team who also lost a big game early in their season.
A few months ago, I saw, I don't know if you guys saw that, this documentary, 99, about Man U. I was thinking about that the day after our game. So they were really down that first game, losing the Cherish Shield against Arsenal 3-0, not touching a ball, or they had a feeling not touching the ball. But they reacted later on as a team with a lot of young players who had to learn that, and with several very important players like Roy Keane guiding them. So that's what we need to do the next weeks, the next months, to make the story better and better. And that's what I've seen also the last 3 weeks also, that the squad is getting better and better.
What do you think, John?
Yes, absolutely. It's embarrassing. I don't know why he's comparing Rangers to Man United and all the rest of it. We're getting back here. I know Hugh was saying there, Hampden's a big problem. The problem's been since we've lost guys like Aribo and Kamara and Morelos and all the other good players. We didn't strengthen. We didn't sell them. We should have sold Morelos and got plenty of cash for him. We've never strengthened. We've been weak since it. And we've never been the same team since we lost these guys. We've never brought better quality players in. And if he's relying on the young talent coming in, it's a big ask and it's a big pressure on these young lads coming in. But at this moment in time, I hate to see it, but it's really grim. And as I said, it's the fans that suffered, and we've never strengthened. We've missed the boat by selling players and getting players. The recruitment at Ibrox has been absolutely horrendous, and Celtic seem to get a lot of gems. They seem to get lots of players in. They sell for huge amounts of money. and we are far behind the ball with that also.
I don't know why he bothers to reference Man United from 25 years ago. I see absolutely no relevance to the current situation. Man United, for a start, played at Old Trafford. Rangers aren't in their home. Man United won a European trophy in 1999. Rangers are some way off winning a European trophy. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed the documentary, but it's got nothing...
It's good, to be fair, if you've seen it.
But it's got nothing to do with Rangers' current situation.
It's not just all about context again, though, Scott. There might be a time when he can reference some adversity that turned into success, and it might be just quite a harmless, you know, comparison to make. That time is not right now for the Rangers fans.
It's not definitely not right now, and I think the comparison to the young players that came through at Manchester United, they were young players who had been... came through the academy for 6 or 7 years together and knew what the club meant. How's your Rangers young players aren't featuring? It's a bizarre comparison.
He's got to focus, and I understand John's frustration and the frustration of the other Rangers supporters, but Philippe Clement has got to focus on what's going on here and now. You know, maybe there's a chance that Hadji could be brought back into the scheme of things. Apparently,
doesn't look like it.
Well,
even Alex Lowry, for instance, who's been tipped for many years, and he's got incredible ability. I have seen him play. He's playing against Clyde for the B team the other night. Nowhere near the Rangers squad. So that kind of work when we're comparing players coming through youth systems and having that kind of strength and belief in themselves to come and play and start for Rangers. There's no foundation there to go off.
Thank you very much to John. Well, we have got one young up and coming prospect who's going to try and prove himself. We've also got one experienced hand who's seen it all before. Which one of them is going to play this?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
See, it's all relative. Scott Allen would be an experienced veteran footballer these days, but in the Beat the Pundit game, he's just a novice. Let's see what we've got tonight. 01419511025. If you want to play, you want to take one of these two on, call that number before 7 o'clock and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 01419511025. A quick first hour because there is lots happening. Brendan Rodgers says the ticket fiasco, if you can call it that, is a Rangers problem. And lots of people are interested in those comments. If you want to keep going on that road, it's the same number as before. So get your thoughts in. Whatever your take on it is, we'd be happy to hear it. We've had a lot of negativity, I think is fair to say, from Rangers fans on generally sort of signings and the way things are going. A difficult result during the week. Philippe Clement is talking about watching Man United's 99 season as a sort of inspiration as to how you can overcome a bad start to the season. So there is a lot going on there. Give us a call on any of the above, or you want to do something different. Killy fans would love to hear from you if you are recovered, if that's the right phrase, from last night, because I'm sure you partied quite well, enjoying progression in Europe. We've got League Cup games this weekend. Let's do the lot. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. It's been an interesting week. Did you hear Simon Donnelly Wednesday night? A big fat zero.
Oh dear.
Never zero. Good when one of the pundits gets a zero. Early days, I was, you know, it's too early to look at the league table, that's what they say. But if you're that way inclined, you're the only one. You're top 3 wins from 3.
Oh,
you're a leader. Scott's not played yet this season.
Yeah, I played last
week. Oh, you did? And you won?
Yeah, won.
Yeah, there we go. That's fine. Whoever wrote on my sheet, Scott hasn't played yet this season, needs to rethink things and reevaluate. Anyway, heads it will be Hugh Keevans and tails it will be Scott, but certainly it will be Michael in Dumbarton. How's it going, Michael?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad. The Sun's just going to be draw specialists in League One this season, or can you get an upturn this weekend?
I think we may get an upturn this weekend. I think we've started off all right, a good point against Inverness and then Alloa as well, so yeah, hopefully.
Get it in the diary, 31st of August, Dumbarton against Scott Allen's Kelty Hearts.
Ooh.
He's a man in form, Michael. So you could get one over on him tonight just before that fixture comes around. Does that sound good?
Looking forward to it.
Nice one. If it's heads though, I'm afraid it'll be Hugh. And if it's tails, it will be Scott. And it is. The coin delivers tails. So it's Scott up against Michael from Dumbarton. So what we do, as always, give Scott something else to listen to rather than Michael's answers. Michael, it's the same time every night, 30 seconds. You can answer or you can pass and move on to the next question. Up to you, okay?
No worries.
Top man, your 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was Rangers manager last time they won the Scottish Cup?
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
How many league goals have Celtic scored this season?
7.
Before last night, what decade did Kilmarnock last win a European tie?
Oh, the 80s.
Name any Scottish side Scott Bain played for before Celtic.
Alloa.
Dylan Venta has joined a club on loan in which country?
The Netherlands.
Name the last Scottish team Owen Coyle managed.
Queen's Park.
Who was Aberdeen's record transfer fee received before Bojan Miovski?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Scott Allen, can you hear us?
Yes.
You ready? See a smile on his face. Is that a confident smile, a nervous smile?
No, I don't know.
Wait and see. Your old pal, just quickly on that, if you've not seen the clips, it's doing the rounds on social media. Your old pal Marvin Bartley, his behaviour whilst Simon's getting his zero is unacceptable. You know that big stupid laugh,
yep,
right down the mic, right in Simon's face, yeah, putting him off. Hugh's much more dignified, better to play alongside. So, 30 seconds to Scott Allen, and his time starts now. Who was Rangers manager last time they won the Scottish Cup?
Ah, pass.
How many league goals have Celtic scored this season?
6.
Before last night, what decade did Killie last win a European tie?
Pass.
Name any Scottish side Scott Bain played for before Celtic?
Dundee.
Dylan Venty's joined a club on loan in which country?
Holland.
Name the last Scottish side Owen Coyle managed?
Queen's Park.
Who was Aberdeen's record transfer fee before Bojan Miovski? 3.
Nah,
2.
Pass, don't know.
1. Michael, how do you think it went?
I think Scott might have got the Celtic League goals ones and I didn't.
Let's find out, because you got the first one and he didn't. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Hearts. Oh. I'm astonished you didn't get that, quite frankly.
Do you know what? I was caught off guard.
And see, when you get the first one wrong, the head can go. I thought you were nailed on for it. 1-0 to Michael in Dumbarton. However, you're right, Michael. His arithmetic was a touch better than yours. 4-0 against Kilmarnock, 2-0 against Hibs is, of course, 6. So an equaliser for Scott Allen. The last decade in which Kilmarnock won a European tie prior to last night was the 2000s. None of you got it, against Clyn Afton in the UEFA Cup, according to this sheet. You both got the next one right. Scott Bain, you had Dundee, Alloa, Elgin. He was at Hibs, wasn't he? But did he play?
He was on loan at Hibs.
Yeah. He was on loan at Hibs, and then when I went to Hibs.
That's right, he was. You
he
were
went
the
to Celtic.
He was part of the trio,
Simon Murray as well.
That's right, because they're not signed for Celtic in his Hibs, yeah, tracksuit or something.
He was at the pre-match, and then
that's right.
Simon Murray signed for Dundee at the same.
So how does, I'm going off track here, but how do you, where are you at this point? How does that all come about?
I was at the Hibs game,
right,
hoping that this was going to get pushed through, obviously, and that's what happened. Simon Murray and Scott Bain were both in the hotel for pre-match because they had a game. So I'm at the Hibs Stadium, there at the hotel, and you need obviously the all three to work, and it was down to the last couple of minutes.
So you moved to?
I went from Dundee to Hibs.
Right.
No, so I was on loan at Dundee from Celtic.
Right.
And I went, Brendan Rodgers was looking for a goalkeeper, so we managed me and my agent to get Scott Bain over to Celtic as the number two, and Simon Murray. Obviously, we went to Dundee, who probably felt hard done to at the time.
And that freed you up to
freed
go to,
me up to
Hibs.
To Hibs.
Oh, there we go. The stories that come up on Beat the Pundit, I've lost track, to be quite honest. But anyway, Dylan Venty has gone to the Netherlands. You both got that correct. On loan from Hibs. Owen Coyle last managed Queen's Park. Both get that. So is that a 4-3 to Michael at this stage, is it? Sounds like. No, to Scott, sorry, is it? Yeah, I think so. If I lost track, somebody can keep me right. Yeah, 4-4, 4-0, sorry, my apologies. I'm forgetting Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And the Aberdeen record transfer fee, none of you got it. Calvin Ramsey, not that long ago, remember? Yep. To Liverpool.
Yep.
So it means we're off to a tiebreaker. Nice way to round off the week, I would say. So what we're going to do here is I'll ask the question, I'll get Scott to write his answer down, and then ask you for your attempt, Michael. That makes sense?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Scotland took three goalkeepers to Euro 2024. How many combined caps do they have as of right now? Scotland took three goalies to the Euros. As of right now, how many combined caps do they have? If you could write it down, please, Scott, and show me your answer. And quickly, if you can. Let's see. Quickly. Okay, I can't even see that right. I've got it now. What are you going for, Michael?
I'm going to go for 30.
Okay, show me your page, Scott. Okay. Scott's gone 10. Michael's gone 30. I can tell you there's not much in it in terms of the gap that you've left. But I'm devastated to say the answer is 18, which means Scott Allen's only 8 away, Michael's 12 away. And the site. Don't you worry, Michael. You'll get your own
see
back when Dumbarton hammer Kelty on the 31st of all. You're not going to Cove tomorrow, are you?
Yeah, I'm,
love that. Love that.
Yeah, I work for Dumbarton as well. So.
Oh, bro. What time's the bus leave?
9.
Listen, that's you could go long, Shug. I'll give you the day off if you're willing to go.
I've had my travel for the week. I've been up in the Highlands all week.
Oh, so you have? Yeah, where are we again? Malig?
Malig, yeah. So, Ruben and Noah, if you're watching, we all watched you in the live stream in Malig.
I knew something was up even when you said you were watching the live stream. I referenced this during the week because you don't know how to watch the live stream.
No,
so I figured you must have been with people who did.
Noah's 10 and he had it all fixed up. He fixed up the live stream and then he fixed up to watch Rangers in Kiev.
Listen, you're a modern man. Thank you to Michael. Shug's staying here. He's in Clydebank tomorrow. Where are you tomorrow again?
Away to Arbroath.
Oh, it's your old club as
well. Yeah, I know.
Brilliant. Back there. Listen, if you're going to go at any time of year, August is probably best.
It'll
still be windy.
Most likely be windy, yeah.
Try and go now. Anyway, right, 01419511025. That's the number you need. You want to go tickets, you are more than welcome. That's what we're here for. You want to talk Rangers general woes. Maybe the more like a case study, this Rangers fan's a personal appeal. What are you... Is there anyone out there who would be going tomorrow but just isn't because it's at Hampden? I wonder, you know, if you could give us a call, let us know what that thought process looks like, because clearly that happened the other night. You then add the negativity of the result and everything that's happened. Are there now more of you? What does Hampden look like tomorrow? Would you have gone if it was at Ibrox? Are you now not going because it's Hampden? Why is that? And do you think that impacts things tomorrow? Give us a call. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers on Adam Ida as well, and what that means for who plays out of Kyogo and him, or is it both, or do they get a chance? He's talking about the recruitment as well. I keep saying it, you Kelly fans, where is your delight for us? Come on, it's always good to have. I know we tend to revel in the negative stories here, but let's do a feel good one with you after last night. Hard luck story maybe for St Mirren. Mixed fortunes last night, Hugh.
Yeah, well, you know, they had their moments and then two late goals. It's been I like the quote from Stephen Robinson when he said, right, we've had a taste of it, let's go for more. There's a good feeling about St Mirren, created by Stephen Robinson and the Paisley fans who fill that ground regularly now. So these things do happen in Europe. Two late goals did for Rangers, two late goals did for St Mirren. Kilmarnock had the nerve to score early and hold on to it. So that's football for you.
I think for St Mirren, obviously, you can see the loss that Mark O'Hara has. He's a huge influence in that team, and he's also a goal threat. It's no shame then going out to a team. I seen a bit of Bran last week, and I thought they were excellent. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? And St Mirren almost doing it. I feel like maybe making more of it than people thought they would after the first leg.
Yeah, I think even if you ask St Mirren fans, they weren't hopeful, obviously, going over there. You're obviously looking for maybe a defensive masterclass and maybe nick a goal on the break, but it wasn't to be. I think that's more what you've seen from a Kilmarnock team, which you know that you've seen Derek McInnes do time and time again. He can go and make it stuffy and grab the important wins.
And again, great credit to him, because on Sunday, when they were being battered by St Johnstone, it was just a disastrous day. And then again, football. Joe Wright, the man sent off, scores the goal that wins against Tromso. Derek McInnes said that after the first leg was over at Rugby Park, he felt that Tromso were leaving thinking, job done here, job done. So there was an extra satisfaction for Derek. they're into the next qualifying round. FC Copenhagen, it'll be a very, very tough one, but that's what you're there for.
Simon's a Kilmarnock fan. Have you booked up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Yes, I actually gambled when the draw was made that we would go through and Copenhagen would go through.
You must have been nervous last night then, because both nearly didn't happen.
And I was almost as nervous when it went to penalties in the Copenhagen game, but because the Strava's apparently a nightmare, like 4 hours on a train from Prague, so that would have been a nightmare. But aye, so we got really, really good, like 20 odd quid from Edinburgh, so I don't think they'll certainly not be that price anymore. Superb.
Did you see that those penalties as well?
No, I've not seen them.
Was it not five out the nine or something were missed? Six, something. It was like the worst penalty shootout ever.
Yeah. I had seen the one of the Ajax player.
That was the opposite. It was long, wasn't it? But this was it was dreadful. And Copenhagen sneaking through. I don't know. On one hand, Simon, that suggests that maybe there's not much between those two sides. But like sort of European pedigree or recent history would suggest Copenhagen is the much harder tie. Is it just a case of go and try and try and cause the upset? You got a bit of faith that could happen, or is it all about this trip?
Yeah, no, they've got faith. I think they got through to the last 16 in the Champions League last year.
Yeah.
Rangers and Celtic can't dream of doing that, so they're a big team. They've got an iconic stadium. When I was in Copenhagen, I went and visited. I had a look at it. Never imagined Kelly would be playing in a few years, but it's an iconic stadium at Parken. So I think just the experience of going over there is going to be important. But I think if we can hold that a draw would be incredible, or even just a narrow defeat to bring it back to Rugby Park. I think it's not, they're not the same Copenhagen that they were last year, put it that way, but we'll still be heavy, heavy underdogs. But I think that's the way we like it.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly not, but it was only last year. I mean, no, it was this year, technically. It was March when they were in the Champions League. They played Man City. Yeah. The thought of if there are any defenders still there saying, look, I know you tackled Erling Haaland, but it's Marley Watkins up next, so you just need to make sure you're still on the ball with it. You say you'd played there?
Yeah, I played there with West Brom when I just went down there on pre-season someplace, and I know it was a pre-season game, but what a stadium. Like you say, it's iconic. I think the most pleasing thing for Derek McInnes is the stop conceding goals. That was the thing you could tell he was getting really frustrated about with his side, was the manner on what the goals they were giving away. So at least we've seen a huge improvement on that, especially in a big occasion. That'll be massive in terms of things going forward for Kilmarnock.
Nothing makes any sense at the moment. Kilmarnock have lost 7 league goals and scored 1. Don't have a league point, and yet go and are celebrated as the one Scottish team this week who have dignified themselves in Europe.
Is that just the challenge of juggling it both at the moment, Simon? Are we just seeing that playing out the way that people kind of think it will?
I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, nobody's going to be talking about, when they look back on this season, nobody's going to be talking about the St Johnstone game or losing to Celtic in the opening day. No Kelly fan will even remember it. Yeah. It'll be, taking nearly 4,000 people to Bruges, walking about Bruges the day after the game and shops, just random shops with Kelly scarves in the window and things like that. Those are the kind of memories that will stay with you forever. Bomzo last night for the people who were up there, from what I've gathered, they had a very enjoyable but expensive evening. I think that going to then obviously Copenhagen in the next round, it's what all the hard luck was for. I think what you're saying about the juggling act is pretty right. Derek's not sacrificed, because I think the players that he put out, especially against St Johnston, albeit in mitigating circumstances, I think they should have performed better. But it's all about that and just getting through, because I think this round's about €1.2 million in prize money we've got, and then going through, if we get through to the play, the actual group stage, which I actually think we might. I think Hearts might get into the Europa League, and obviously Rangers are already there. So to have two teams in the Europa League and one in the Conference League would be amazing for Scottish football, especially not all about Rangers and Celtic all the time. So I think it's just we've been holding off, I think, on signings. I think we wait to see how far we could get, how much prize money we will get. And if we can get through even just, a tight game, as I say, in Copenhagen, bring them back to Rugby Park, that'll be a sellout. They'll bring a big crowd over as well. It's going to be another one of those special nights. And, under the lights on the plastic, I'd give us a chance against, most teams. So I think we need to stay in the tie. I'm going to say something you'll enjoy, Gordon. I don't care about Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be a real shame if you were knackered and couldn't run the length of yourself on Sunday. My heart would bleed for you.
Yeah, put the kids out. I'm absolutely fine with that. you know, put the kids in the reserves out. Chances of us winning the League Cup are minimal. Chance of winning a two-legged tie against a Copenhagen team who seem like they're, you know, not the standard that they were last season. And then the money that would generate, you know, I think 6 million. And then you've got your prize money. You could even then you've got your ticket money. So you've got teams like Chelsea who are going to be in it. You know, if you get somebody like Chelsea coming to Rugby Park, you know, that's going to generate so much money. So I'm just excited. It's a good time. I don't think anyone really cares, as I say, about the league games at the moment. We're all just focusing on Europe. And I think last night was a Derek McInnes masterclass. I heard just talk about it. You know, the Tromso manager saying that there's 1 foot in the next round after the game at Rugby Park. You know, if there's one manager you don't want to say that in front of, it's Derek McInnes, because he was at his nippiest best last night. He was not a happy boy. And I've not seen him like that since, I think it was the season in the Championship. We played Arbroath. They beat us at Gayfield. And Dick Campbell was, you know, celebrating and dancing on the park. And Derek mentioned it afterwards that, you know, that really annoyed them because they were acting like the league had been won. And I think last night, you know, he doesn't like that disrespect. And I think the Tromso co-managers disrespected us. And, they paid the price.
I did really like that from the first leg when he said, you know, they thought they were through.
Uh-huh.
And because that only works if you back it up. Yeah. If they then do go through, you're the one that, so, you know, you're putting out there. And Derek McInnes helped deliver it last night. And as Simon says, Hearts, we now know, will play Victoria Pilsen as well, team with a fairly good European pedigree in recent seasons. So lots to look forward to. Well done, Kelly. Hopefully Hearts can join in. Commiseration, St Mirren. Any of you Buddies fans want to get in touch, you can do. 01419511025. We'll hear more from Brendan Rodgers, so why don't you join in next?
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. We're building up to big games in the League Cup this weekend, or down the divisions if you're that way inclined. The English Premier League starts tonight, incidentally. I'm trying to put some sort of Scottish spin on things, but I'm struggling. Where's Scott McTominay? Is he playing? No, probably not. Man United up against Fulham tonight in the opening game, so we'll keep an eye there in case, for whatever reason, something comes on our radar. We're about to speak to David, who's a Celtic fan. Keep your calls coming in, tickets or whatever else it is, we're here for you. But let me give you the full-time teaser first. And thank you to Nicole from Wisher for sending it in. Can you name the last three Celtic and three Rangers players who were sold to a current English Premier League club? So can you name the last three Celtic and three Rangers players who were sold to a current English Premier League club?
Bassey.
He went to Ajax.
He went to Ajax.
Nathan Patterson.
Nathan Patterson, yes. So, like, I don't know if this would apply anyway, but I'm not talking like contract up and then went. I mean, like, you know, bought, sold, transfer.
Kieran Tierney.
He's not in the last three.
Stuart Armstrong?
Nope. Okay, we can get back to it. You've only got six overall. So Nathan Patterson's one. Looking for the last three Celtic and last three Rangers players who were sold to a current English Premier League club. So we will just leave it there for now. David
Zoharibo.
Yes, he was the most recent Rangers one. We will leave it there for now. Let's bring in David, who's a Celtic fan. How are you, David?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just the start the Celtic's made to the season and the pre-season, the way that Brendan's got them playing again, the fast football, the link-up play with Kyogo dropping off and stuff. It's been a joy to watch again with Celtic when you get with a last season in the middle of the season where we allowed Rangers back in, but we lost for a couple of games. Then obviously they lost their games, but I don't see many Rangers fans looking forward to the next game at Celtic Park, I thought, next time. Because the way Celtic's playing, the way the Rangers are in, and I know you can't predict an Old Firm game, but I think it'll be right going over this time. And I don't see Rangers. The three that they've got in midfield, if that's who they go with against Celtic, I don't know. Hopefully Matt O'Reilly's still there, but he might not be there. But Celtic's midfield and forward line will just destroy them.
When you look at David, at the general state of Rangers and Celtic, who are the polar opposite of that, then of course you're entitled to look at the Rangers game on September the 1st with a lot of optimism. However, when Adam Eder came in, he only took Celtic back to the position they were in on the 25th of May on Scottish Cup final day. Celtic haven't strengthened the squad. They've got the same squad as last season. They've changed the goalkeeper, Hart out, Schmeichel in, and that's very, very good business. But I think looking beyond Rangers on the 1st of September, Celtic really need to get quality in for the Champions League.
I'm not saying they don't, by the way, but is it worth bearing in mind that you can still improve, though, by being a much better version of you? And the early suggestions are that Celtic are that. They, you know, of course, because Brendan Rodgers has said that, everyone said that you want to add players, but I feel like you're maybe in danger of overlooking the fact but that every player in your squad improved by even 2%. You're then better than you were last season.
But Brendan Rodgers is the man who comes up with quotes about needing players and
quality. That's why I said it wasn't to disagree with it, but I feel like it still should be acknowledged that you can be better anyway.
Well, I'll accept that, but they have the resources to make that squad so much better between now and the closing of the transfer window. They have, I know they always say, oh, you can't buy players because they have such and such wage demands and so forth. I do not accept that between now and the end of the transfer window, Celtic cannot bring in players of quality to enhance an improving squad. I'm not saying they are not improving, but surely David and other Celtic fans must want to see even more quality brought in. It took 3 months to get Adam Eder.
And do you think he'll play this weekend, David? Because Kyogo's nursing some shoulder injury again, maybe straight in.
I think he will play, but Shute's got to remember there's still 3 weeks left in the transfer window and the transfer market is stagnant. Absolutely stagnant. How many players have been signed in England so far, Hugh? There's nothing moving about. Now, we know we need a left centre-back. We know we need a backup left-back or a left-back to take Greg Taylor's place. And we'll have another forward and a midfielder. Now, we need four players. Now, there's 3 weeks left to go to that. Now, again, I'll quote what Brendan Rodgers said. He can assign 9 players, but they're not the quality that Celtic are looking for. Now, it's taking a bit longer to get quality in. Now, we're not just going to go out and sign a player. We've got enough squad players sitting there that we've signed in recent years that are not getting games. So why then go out and spend more money, £1 million, £2 million on a player that's not getting into the first team? We're looking for quality, and quality is what's taking the time. Yeah, it took a while to get Adam Eder. Now, you've heard Adam Eder's interview. He wanted to come when he left Celtic. He wanted to come back. But the negotiations it took between Celtic and Norwich took a while. Their manager didn't want to let him go. He told his manager he wanted to come. He said that in his interview, but it took that a length of time. Now, some transfers do take that a length of time, but the transfer market is dead at the moment.
Is it Liverpool that haven't signed a single player? Is that right? Did I see that? Everyone seems to be doing their nothing.
The boy for Real Sociedad done a U-turn last minute. Like that.
It is a bit slower generally. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers and something David brought up. Because Kyogo didn't train today, he's got that potential shoulder issue. He's not ruled out definitely, but just a potential there. And in terms of that bigger picture, how do they both fit in? There's obviously a big fee for Adam Eder. Kyogo's done it and then some at Celtic, but the manager says he sees them both as number one strikers.
Listen, I'll make it clear, I see them both as number one strikers. I don't see one as number one, number two. I think Kyogo in his time here has been absolutely brilliant. Been really, really good, and this season he started off the season really, really well, and so that's great. But you can't rely on someone to only play it to the highest level 55 to 60 games a season. You know, we want to go deep in as many of the competitions as we can, so that will take us to that number of games. And you can't have just one striker to do that. I felt that I wanted another guy who I can call a number one striker. So that's what I feel I have. Just depending on the game, depending on the energy in the team, just depending on the circumstances of the match or the fixture list, then having those two is a big asset for us.
I think the value of either will be exactly what we'll see this weekend. I wouldn't expect Kyogo to play, and either will get a hero's welcome at Celtic Park on Sunday afternoon. But I do maintain that I think a lot of Celtic supporters are looking at Ibrox and thinking shambles, and when they hear the first caller in this programme tonight saying that for Rangers there is no hope, then, you know, they're already planning their celebration for the winning of the league title. But I do think that Celtic have the resources. I understand the market might not be moving very quickly, but it, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't investigate that market very, very thoroughly and get other players in.
Do you think, Scott, is that fair? Do we make too much of a deal about who's going to be number one striker? I mean, as if you were to really force a label on it, Adam Ida wasn't Celtic's number one last season, but he still won them the Scottish Cup and scored arguably title defining goals. Do we need to pick one and put a label
on? No, I don't think you do. I think now, especially in modern football, as Brendan Rodgers speaks about there, how they want to go deep into cup competitions too, and obviously the European campaign coming up, you're going to need both. I would probably say they maybe need another one just in case. I think that's the way that a lot of Celtic fans would be looking at it, but they both have different qualities which will be used at different times. I think what the previous caller said about Kyogo dropping off, especially against Hibs last week, starts high, offside, drops in, he's so hard to deal with. But what I had to go back to the League Cup and people thinking that Celtic might steamroller Rangers at Celtic Park, I think what we've seen that day was Rangers were very defensive that day. The full backs didn't get high and it did cause problems. They closed their spaces off where Celtic were trying to hurt them and had hurt them in previous ties. So I think when we speak about what Philip Clement can do against that, he's got to get his team organised first and foremost, and they can make it difficult. Like, any team can make it difficult if they go and have the right setup.
Is David still with us on the line? Is he gone?
Yeah, no, he's still there, David.
I suppose it's quite sort of fitting to analyse you and your mood at this point in the season, because this time last year, of course, was when Celtic went out of the League Cup at this stage to Kilmarnock, and there was so much criticism of Brendan Rodgers' return and about where Celtic would go that season. Of course, they went on to win a double and it ended up being a successful season, but I'm imagining you go into this stage of the League Cup much more confident than you did a year ago.
Yeah, on him. Last season as well, whenever Carter Vickers, whenever Hattie at the start of the season, they weren't in my team. Both of them were injured. So they came back halfway through the season. So we started the season then. It took a while for the team to gel again and get into Brendan's way, the way he wanted to play football. Start of the season didn't start well, and then middle of the season we had a wee blip. But at the end, it all worked out. And I mean, I don't see Rangers at any point this season. And it's, the finances are there for Celtic. And as again, I'll say to you, nobody knows what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know who Celtic spoke to, what we're waiting on, what we're waiting on coming back. I mean, next week we could end up with three players. We don't know.
Yeah, but as you say, you don't know. Next week you could have no players at all. You know, Celtic have done their business very cleverly with Adam Ida, you know, because the money they got from O going to Genk in Belgium, the money they got for Boston Lawal has largely paid for Adam Ida. So they do their business very well. I just think that they are in real need in terms of Europe, and it's a part of the season, and Celtic wear that star on their jersey for a very good reason, because they were the first British club to win the biggest European competition. They have stagnated in Europe, and they really could do with an injection of fresh talent coming in. I mean, with the greatest respect, when Kyogo went off last week at Easter Road, Mikey Johnson comes on to play. He's a winger. And they're still at the stage of bringing on Mikey Johnson, with all respect to him.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on recruitment generally. He says he sees a lot of value in taking bigger risks on bigger money signings in the transfer market.
I've said it before here. It's one where, for example, if you spend 18 million and you spend it on 9 players, I would hope there's a possibility to spend 18 on 3 players. You know, it's 6 million. So it's a bit, like I've always said it, our model is to bring in young players to develop and improve. But you can bring young players in to develop and improve, but at a higher level. And then you know a little bit more of what you're getting, maybe. And there's maybe a higher ceiling. But you might be able to bring in one more at that level, and or two more. But as I said, I think we can
we can do that. It's just about the getting the right player. It's the attitude to risk. It's the level of risk. You know, you can sign a player for £1-2 million, fine, and you might sell them for £10 million. You know, but you can sign a player for 7 or 8, and maybe sell them for 30-40. It's the same. It's the same thing, you know. But it's really trusting the process and trusting a team of people that can work very, very hard, and then allowing you to get the players in.
Brendan Rodgers wants to sell Adam Ida for £40 million. That could be your headline in your column this weekend.
I think we've heard a conversation there with Brendan that he's had with Michael Nicholson, the CEO, because he's telling you there, you can buy players for £6 million, you know, and we can turn them into £30 million players. You don't always have to see if you can... The signing of Matt O'Reilly for 1.5 from the MK Dons was fantastic business for Celtic. But Brendan Rodgers is inviting Michael Nicholson to think about bringing in a couple of players at the £6 million mark who are at a higher level to begin with and can be taken to an even higher level by a coach like Brendan.
It's what they've done with Jota. Who obviously went back loan to Benfica, and then they paid, I think it was roughly about £6 million back then, and then he goes for that huge fee to Saudi Arabia. I think when you compare the two clubs in terms of what we're now seeing, is if you go back the beginning of last season, you've got a chief executive at Rangers who was inexperienced, who's now left. You had Michael Beale, who was a very inexperienced manager at the time, up against Brendan Rodgers, Michael Nicholson / Peter Lawwell, and then fast forward a year into that, against that, and look at the mess that Rangers are in, and look at the trajectory that Celtic are heading in.
Thank you very much to David, a good call, well made. You two have work to do though on your teaser, because tonight Nicole in Wishaw is asking you via email, by the way, fulltime@clyde1.com. if you want to send a question in on the teaser, please do. Nicole wants you to name the last three Celtic and three Rangers players who were sold to a current English Premier League club. You've got Joe Aribo to Southampton and Nathan Patterson to Everton. None of the Celtic ones yet. Who are the sort of big hitters, if you like, that went to England in recent times?
The boy Daniel Kelly's just signed for...
No.
Oh, it's Millwall, isn't it?
I mean, big Nate, you're not having to go to the, with no disrespect to him, the Daniel Kellys of the world. We're talking some really well-established first-team players.
Oh, Odson Edward.
Odson Edward to Crystal Palace. Any more guesses for either side? The third, the last remaining Rangers one is a cracker, to be fair. Like, I don't mind you struggling with that, but you should be able to make a stab at some of the other Celtic ones. What were your wrong Celtic guesses again?
Armstrong.
Kieran Tierney.
Right, so they were...
Ryan Christie.
Yes, and we'll get the rest of those answers and hopefully more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's the final part already. That has been lively. It's been quick. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Can you name the last three Celtic and three Rangers players who were sold to a current English Premier League club? I like it that Chris is keeping us on his toes, keeping us on our toes, because he says, well, Ryan Christie signed for Bournemouth when they were in the Championship. That may well be the case. Are they still in the top flight?
Yeah.
So they're a current English Premier League club. That's the wording of the question. Usually we do get it wrong, to be fair, Chris, but I think this one. Also, he says Ben Doak would be one. It was like training compensation he went for, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we've ruled them out on...
Liverpool are prepared to listen to offers for him.
Yeah, I see that. Arnie Slot maybe not having it. We'll see what happens with him in the next few weeks of the window. Anyway, have you got any on the question you gave me? Edward and Christie prior to the break from Celtic. Aribo and Patterson. No.
Championship.
Yep. Leeds. Do you know what? The last remaining Rangers one is so good, just for a number of reasons.
Right, go give us a clue then.
Well, I'm not sure how much of a clue this is, but you won't remember him that much, in the sense that he wasn't high profile or anything at Rangers. And the club that he went to is currently an English Premier League club, but again, maybe not.
It's going to be Ipswich, isn't it?
Who would that be? Silence is never good, I've told you. It doesn't work on radio. Just sing
a striker?
No. Far from it.
Goalkeeper?
But not as far from it, but close.
Oh.
You'd be as well doing the other Celtic one, because he's high profile like the rest. It was that same time. The same. It was all the same window, was it not?
Christopher Ayer.
Yes, Christopher Ayer to Brentford. I will leave the Rangers one with you. I did say earlier on the show, Rangers fans, I was keen to hear from anyone who isn't going to Hampden tomorrow purely because it's Hampden. If you like, you know, you would have gone if it was Ibrox, but for whatever reason, I was hoping you would tell us you're not going. And I wondered why that was. We've not had any through yet, I don't think. What it does lead me on to, though, is the cup generally tomorrow. Are we going to see any shocks? Are we going to see one at Hampden?
Well, it's a nasty time for Rangers to be meeting a St Johnstone side who've just come off a very good win at Kilmarnock, and who also have a couple of strikers who can throw people around a bit. But it would officially be a crisis at Ibrox. I know that the callers tonight have said there's no hope and all the other phrases they have used about shambolic and all the rest of it, but it would officially be a crisis if Rangers lost the only trophy they possess tomorrow.
Can you see it, Scott? I mean, all this stuff, there's the crisis narrative, it always takes way more than this for Rangers to like not be overwhelming favourites. They still will be.
Rangers are favourites for me. I think you would need to have a really, really poor Rangers performance and hope that St Johnstone bring their A game. I think, as we previously touched on Philip Clement, this is a time now to forget about all the noise and get your team organised and hard to beat and give the Rangers fans something to get behind, because that's what we've not seen. We've not seen them. With it. I know Ridvan's out now.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks. So is Jeffrey going to go back in there?
Yeah, you would think so. You would think that.
He's David Beckham then, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
In the analogy, he's the one that needs to bounce back from the red card for the 1999 documentary season.
It's the
slightly harsher, I think.
It's the external stuff tomorrow. You know, how many people will bother to go? Those who do bother to go, are we going to see some form of demonstration that people
are talking
about?
Yeah, I think there was talk outside, wasn't there?
But that's the job of a manager now, and the team, to forget about that. They need to concentrate on the pitch. They need to get a lift somehow.
I know football doesn't work like this, and before I even say it, but if Rangers were to bring a Motherwell level of performance and St Johnstone brought a Kilmarnock level of performance, that might be enough for St Johnstone. Does it show how easily it can happen? And again, I know it's a hypothetical, but
depending what the bounce back is from the players and the staff from Tuesday night, I think yes, that the physicality of the St Johnstone strikers does pose the Rangers defence a problem.
First
there's no question.
You've got to pick the right team. You know,
not loads of options now though in certain areas. Like we say, Jeffrey presumably has to play left back.
Yeah.
That number 10 seems to be Tom Lawrence's or no one's, because, well, we've covered Cantwell and Hadji, unless he wants to throw Diamandé, Sterling and Barron.
After Desser's remonstrating with the Rangers fans, I mean... Mm-hmm.
And a whole other issue, he was asked specifically about Danilo today, because I know that's been a hot topic, and he says, you know, I won't give anything away, but the plan is to get him minutes. If we were to go through another 90 without him playing at all, I'd be really surprised. Uh-huh. But we'll see. Right, okay, you're not convinced the shot comes there. Aberdeen at home to Queen's Park.
No.
Too
no.
strong. Yemi Tillin's got them flying, doesn't he? Even
they're only going to get better for
after Miovski's gone.
Tonight's most useless stat: Yemi Tillin has had a better start as Aberdeen manager than Alex Ferguson had.
Did Alex Ferguson have the luxury of lower league opposition in the League Cup? Well, I'm just asking. I don't know. I haven't checked it.
But anyway, before he gets to the lower league opposition, he's still got a better start than Fergie had. He's now only a league title and two European trophies away.
Aye, not easy as that. Right, Dundee, Airdrie. Dundee have started so well though, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Dundee are strong favourites, especially after that performance against Hearts, because what we've seen of Hearts in the opening day of the season, we were expecting big things. So
what are we going to get from Gerald Taylor this week? World class first week and not quite last week. Speaking of which then, I'm going to force you into a shock somewhere. Falkirk Hearts.
That's a tie around for me, I think.
Okay, now we're getting there. You think maybe an upset?
Just the amount of games that the accumulation of wins that Falkirk have had over the last year and the way they've started and in the Championship, a lot of youth players and a lot of younger players with experience at bigger clubs. He always does well in getting a team together. McGlynn, I think this will be a really interesting game, that one.
They're a great story, but I mean, Stephen Naismith, after getting a point from Rangers, then gets a doing at Dundee. He can't be doing with a cup reversal at this particular time. And I really do think it'll be a smashing game. It might be by the odd goal, but Hearts will get there in the end.
The lowest ranked team in the competition, so we're in sort of fairy tale territory here, would be the Spartans, Ross County.
Nah. Don Cowie.
Nah. No chance.
Nah.
Jeez, where's your sense of imagination? We've covered Rangers St Johnson. The rest are Sunday, largely due to
Europe.
Europe, obviously. Interested personally, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, but you've got the added Tony Watt factor. Let's hear a bit from him. He claims he was always likely to go back to Firth Park at some point, and he wants to rebuild bridges with fans and accepts there might be a few weeks of booing.
I always knew I would come back eventually because how good my time was here. It was everybody knows the reasons why I left. It wasn't hard to turn down. It was impossible to turn down, and now I'm back. I know people were annoyed I celebrated against Morwell. They were winding me up and I done it, but after that I still kept an eye on my lower. I think the same. I think I'm just full of a big bag of madness, if you would like to say. And now it's time for me just to work hard and show them why they liked me and why they loved me, and we can hopefully rebuild that bridge and just kick on again. I thrive off negativity, I thrive off stuff, and I thrive off proving people wrong, and Mullowell's made me feel at home the first time, and after a few weeks of booze, then hopefully they can make me feel at home after that.
He's a bit like you, really.
Yeah.
Controversial, Marmite, a bag of madness, as he puts it. Yeah. But do you know what? Just a bit daft and harmless once you get to know you.
Yeah, exactly. And you're better off with me than without me.
Did you love him, Gordon? Did you love him?
As a player, the first day, really good the first time he was there, wasn't he, for sure? And there's something, because everybody knows it. So I think you've got to admire the honesty to a point where he's pretty much saying there, I could not turn that money down. Sometimes players will try and treat you like you're an idiot, and I think we had a Motherwell fan on the other night saying, the way he left for a few hundred quid extra a week, but by all accounts we're talking in the realms of triple the wage. And I know it's uncomfortable talking about people's money, but
I think it's not uncomfortable in this context, because I don't understand how anyone coming from a working class area like Motherwell could deny someone the opportunity to support his family in an even better fashion than he was able to do. That not a person alive would turn that down.
I take the point, though, there's maybe more to it, and then it's the way you do things, whatever. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure if he scores, all will be forgiven. Kilmarnock will want to carry on their good result from the other night. Obviously, we know Celtic Hibs, we've discussed that one. And Dundee United, St Mirren, that looks like a cracker as well. Really looking forward to it this weekend. You've got one more in the teaser. The last three Celtic and three Rangers players to be sold to our current English Premier League club: Odson Edouard, Christopher Ayer, Ryan Christie, Joe Aribo, Nathan Patterson, and...
initials.
Firstly, yeah, give us initials.
G-E.
G-E.
Went to Ipswich, as we've discovered. Defender. Did he come from Ipswich as well, actually? I think he might have. Can't remember.
Not going to get it, are you?
George Edmondson.
Wow. Would never have got it.
There we go.
Thank you, Hugh Keevans. Thank you, Scott Allen. And thank you for your calls, your tweets, your care and attention on a Friday night. We never take it for granted. And we're back tomorrow, looking forward to these League Cup ties as well. So make sure you join us from 2, and the GBX is up next.